We're on page Chaf Hey Ais Zayin. We're talking about Emunah. We began the Maimer of Emunah last week, which is not the beginning of the Sefer. We'll come back and Mitzvah to the beginning of the Sefer at the end of the summer. But we need really some more Hachanis to get into the Parsha, being able to come back to really what's at the beginning. So let's learn Ais Zayin. We're talking about Emunah. A person should not, chas v'shalom, become depressed or upset if he sees that in this avoda of trying to reach a higher level of emunah, there are many nefilas, there are many times that it doesn't go. Obviously, a person has to be struggling with emunah and be in the parish of wanting to have stronger emunah in order to even feel that they're on nefilas. A person feels fine if he's not trying anything, and he's not working on his emunah, so then one doesn't feel any nefilas at all. Everything's just great. But if a person really wants to, work on emunah, obviously there are going to be many nefilas. And to some degree, even if we're not all ayvdim the way that we should be, we feel disappointed in ourselves. There are times in life where we feel disappointed, where we know that we should not get so upset, not get so angry, we should have stronger emunah. We spoke a little bit about this last week. But we know that Chazal tell us that when a person loses his temper, it's a bechina, it's an aspect of avodah zarah and of idol worship. Of course, it doesn't have anything to do with idolatry, but in their way of speaking, it means that if our emunah would be the way that it should be, if we would be strong in our emunah, then we would live every single second of our lives with that awareness of Hashem's presence, and with that belief that everything that's happening is not stam, it's not a coincidence, everything is with Hashgacha Pratis, and we wouldn't lose ourselves, and we wouldn't fall to pieces. So any time that it happens, for instance, that we do lose our tempers, and we do fall a little bit apart, and we feel that way, we understand that it's because of our weak emunah, or a weakening in our emunah. He says, not only in our hearts, we don't feel. As we spoke about last week, you could intellectually know that there's a God, and you could intellectually believe in God's presence, but the only way that you know that that's actually something that touches your heart and reaches your kishkes is when you're tested. And when you're tested, every day of our lives we're being tested. When a person is tested, and then he's able to know whether that intellectual reality is something which actually penetrates into his heart, and he feels a sense of calmness, a sense of security, and a feeling of confidence, despite the fact that there are certain things in the course of a day that are not to our liking, or things that might even be frightening, and so on. So a person has a weakening of emunah emotionally. Sometimes also, even in the thoughts and in the mind, many times it happens in life that you're trying to do something and you fail, it doesn't work out. And there are many, many such things in life. And he forgets that he's a mammon. He doesn't even think about emunah. And he reacts no differently than, God forbid, than any person on the street, than a person who's bechlal, not a mammon, might not even be a Jew, would react. When a person forgets completely that every single asik of his in life depends completely upon Hashem. And a person forgets that in order for him to be matzliach in something, whatever that esek is, whether it's something financial or whether it's something with the children, whether it's something with the shidduch, whatever it might be, in order that there should be hatzlach, it depends completely on Hashem. If it's not matzliach, it's something which is entirely in Hashem's hands. And yet a person forgets this. And he's controlled by the mitzvahs that he sees with his eyes. You know, I think next Sunday is Shavuos HaBetamos, if I'm not mistaken. And if we want to understand really what's the yisayid, what happened on Shavuos HaBetamos, I'll tell you something interesting. Chazal say in the Yalkut, in the Medrash of Parshas Pinchas, Chazal say that originally the day of Shavasa B'Tammuz from the time of creation was set aside by Hashem to be what Chazal call a Moed Gadol, a big yontif. And it was supposed to be a big, big yontif, Shavasa B'Tammuz. Then there was going to be 3 weeks Chol HaMoed. What we now call the 3 weeks was supposed to be Chol HaMoed. And Tishvav was going to be the last day yontif. Now, I don't know what that would have meant, what kind of Chol HaMoed that would have meant with, you know, Adventureland and all other stuff. I don't know. But the 3 weeks that we have now, that are the 3 weeks that are the Ben HaMetzar, the most difficult 3 weeks of the year, 3 weeks of mourning and 3 weeks of Churban, God forbid, these 3 weeks initially were supposed to start with a big yontiv and Shavasa B'Tammuz, and they were going to end with a big yontiv of Tisha B'Av. So what went wrong? And what was that original yontiv going to be? So everybody knows that initially on Shavuos Hashem gave us the Torah. It was Matan Torah, took place on Shavuos, but we did not receive the Luchas on Shavuos. We did not receive the Luchas HaBris on Shavuos. Moshe Rabbeinu said, wait, I'm coming back down 40 days, I'll be back down, and then I'm going to give you the handiwork of Hashem. I'm going to bring you the Luchas in 40 days. So what happened was, everybody knows the story, what happened was that Klai Yisrael made a mistake in the Cheshbon. It says, they had a certain Cheshbon of Bo Sheish, of when Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to come down, by the sixth hour of the 40th day, they made a mistake in the Cheshbon, whatever it was. Not only that, but the Satan, the evil one, was able to arrange a dimion, some vision of Moshe Rabbeinu having died in his deathbed, with Moshe Rabbeinu in it, floating over their heads. In other words, reality told them very clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu was dead. And that in that case, the entire promise and the entire project was fulfilled. As a result of that, they built the golden calf. And since then we have, instead of a yontiv of Shavasa B'Tammuz, we have the day of terrible tzaras, and then Tisha B'Av, the 3 weeks, and Tisha B'Av, and so on. By the way, Hashem would take those 3 weeks, or the 21 days that were supposed to be Yom Tov Dik, and those would become the Yom Tovim of Tishrei, which are exactly 21 days, and Tishrei of Yom Tovim. But it was supposed to be originally from Shavasa B'Tammuz to Tisha B'Av. It was supposed to be a big Yom Tov. So what was the Yom Tov that Shavasa B'Tammuz was supposed to be? It was supposed to be the Yom Tov of the giving of the Luchais. And how is the giving of the Luchas different from Shavuos, Maimon HaSinai? Because regarding the Luchas, it says, Aluchas Libam Echtevena, Chazal tells us, we don't have time to go into this right now, that if we would have passed that test of the 17th of Tammuz, then the word, the Dvar Hashem, the Torah would have been totally engraved on our hearts. We would have become completely one with the Torah. We never would have forgotten the Torah. It would have been the next day, that Yom Tov would have been a time of going into Eretz Yisrael, Tisha B'Av, marching up to and to build the Beis HaMikdash, we would have had Mashiach. So what was the test of Shavasa B'Tammuz? Like, how did we feel? What happened? The test is the same test that we go through every single day, many times a day, in a more subtle way. Some in big days in life, we go in a stronger way. What's the test? The test is, on the one hand, Hashem Yisbarach said clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu, who spoke in Hashem's name, the Bnei Yisrael heard the Shechina through Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth. Hashem said, 40 days from now, I'm going to give you the Luchas. Don't worry, it's going to be okay. I'm giving you the Luchas. On that day, it wasn't okay. Things were not going the way they were supposed to go. And there was a conflict. What was the conflict? On the one hand, God said, I'm going to give you the Luchas, it's going to be okay. On the other hand, reality was that it wasn't okay. The time from Moshe Rabbeinu's arrival passed. That was the big countdown. He wasn't here. And on top of that, we saw his bed floating over Har Sinai, and that he was dead. So the Sfarim say that last Nisayon, that was the greatest Nisayon to test us, and we go through this test every day, whether or not we really, really were prepared to receive the Luchos in that deepest way, that it would become engraved upon our hearts. And the test that we go through every single day is, what do you do when there's a contradiction between what reality tells you, what you see in front of your eyes, and what your Emunah tells you, and what God tells you? What do you do? How do you react? How do you deal with that? Do you try to construct another reality? Do you try to make believe that there's a reality besides the one that Hashem has brought said is reality? If you don't think we do that all the time, I mean, these are things that happen on a regular basis. It says something in the Torah, it says something in Halacha. And we're supposed to live that way. On the other hand, Mitzias tells us, reality tells us something else. Reality tells us that if you're going to, I mentioned this last year, I had a balabas, one of the balabatim from shul, this goes back when we were still in the little house, I remember one of the balabatim comes to the shiur, we were learning Chayshim Mishra, we're learning Halachas of Geneva. And he came after the shiur to ask me a shaila, something in his business that related to what we were learning that day. And he told me that there was a certain maaser that happened in business a day or two before, that if the psak halacha would be the way that we learned that day, he really should be giving approximately $38,000 back to somebody. And he's not a big gear, this person. And he would have to give back $38,000. So we learned the halacha, and he wanted to know what to do. And I said, the halacha is, and you have to give back that money, that $38,000. And he came to me the next day, and he said, okay, I took care of it. That's the most unbelievable thing. How many people would Bechlala come to ask a shayla? Like, the Dayan from Yishlaim, Rav Fisher, all of Hashem, used to say that thousands of people line up before Sukkot to show me the Esser, but very few people ever come to show me their Shkolim. You know, to ask me questions about Shkolim, about whether that money belongs to them or doesn't belong to them. Because we're tested many, many times. That Metzias is saying one thing, reality says one thing. On the other hand, Hashem is both telling you something else. The failure of Sheva Sebetam was the failure of any human being who's stuck between that place where reality says one thing and Emunah and faith says something else. And that failure led to the Peronius, to the Tsaris of the 3 weeks, and the test that we go through till this day is whether or not we're going to strengthen our Emunah. And even though Metzias tells us one thing, Metzias says you could make $38,000, but Emunah tells you something else. Metzias says, for example, you know, you'll be the most glamorous, beautiful person in the world if you look a certain way. Emunah says that Hashem doesn't want you to go that way. I mean, these are tests that we have all the time. And that's the test of Sheva Sebetam, that's the test of Emunah. So what the tzaddik is saying over here, that often in life, in the course of life, on a regular day, we forget the true Metzias. That's the question of Emunah. What is the real Metzias? The one that you see with your eyes, or the one that God tells you is the Metzias? Your eyes tell you that Moshe Rabbeinu was dead, but the Baruch Shalom says that he's coming, it's going to be okay. And Elapnach, he's still alive. How could that be? That's the question of Emunah. How do you deal with these contradictions between physical reality and the reality of Torah, the reality of Halacha, the reality of Hashem? How do you deal with that? So it's very common in our lives that we forget, we don't think about it, we don't feel the Emunah because we're overwhelmed by the Metzias that we see there with our eyes. I had a call a few weeks ago. I have to call him back again. I forgot to call my son. I spoke to him a few weeks ago. One of our chaverim that lives now in Yerushalayim got married late, quite late. Finally was able to get married. Took a while to have a child. They had a child. He called me up to tell me the good news. There's a mazel tov. And to tell me that also that the child, unfortunately, has Down syndrome. And, you know, you hear mazel tov, and mazel tov, and then the next thing, and we're gonna accept this as a gift from Hashem Yisbarach, and I'm sitting there on the phone, and I start to cry, and I feel, you know, it's one thing to give shiurim on Emunah, right? It's another thing to lecture on Emunah, to talk about Emunah, but it's another thing to be a ma'amin. To be a ma'amin is to be able to be in that place of what's the true Metzias, and not to be destroyed by the Metzias that you see with your eyes. And it's so hard to hold on to that level of Emunah. So what the tzaddik here is saying is, we're on page Chafei Ayzayin, the sixth line, seventh line, Al Yipol Adam Berucha. Therefore, if you see that you slip sometimes in this, don't become sad. If it happens sometimes, or it happens often, Elazut Suras Ha'avayda. This is our avayda in life. Sometimes we remember Hashem, sometimes we remember the truth, And upamim lahepach, sometimes the opposite. Haderechi sha'af im shachach. So how should we live? Af im shachach. Even when a person forgets God, even when a person forgets the truth, forgets that mitzias of emuna. You try to be mechazik yourself. You try, even though you slipped and you got angry, you slipped and you got frustrated, you slipped and something happened. But immediately afterwards, you try as soon as possible to remind yourself of who you are and to strengthen your emunah. And to remember that everything depends on God. And it's not because of the technician. And it's not because of that. Miyad yamid es atzma izman muat panui. He says you should immediately, when you get hold of yourself, after maybe you lost your temper or you were sad, you get hold of yourself, try, he says immediately, as soon as you can do that, yamid es atzma izman muat panui, try to take a few minutes of quiet, to go quietly someplace, because you can't do it when you're in a tumult. V'yadabir m'harabani shalom, and speak to the Rabbani Shalom. V'yaymelo, and say. Again, if you've never done this, it sounds very silly. But this is the essence of being a Jew. The Yom alone, you should say, Rabbanu Shleilam, Atta Yedea Kamani Reitzel Ahamen B'chad Da'emes. Rabbanu Shleilam, you know how badly I really want to believe in you. Kamani Mishtaikik L'chad, how much I'm longing for this. Ava Rabbanu Shleilam, Atta Raya Kamani Filis Yeshli. But Rabbanu Shleilam, you see how I fall, how I slip from this. Ani Shecheach Harbe Pa'amim, I forget so many times. I am not giving up hope from believing in you. Any time that I forget you, I will immediately try to be mechazik myself to start again and to remember my belief in you. Therefore I beg you, Hashem, Ma'ayma kalei, from the depth of my heart, shetirachem v'tochus alai, have rachmanus on me. Shalei eshkach eischadr, I shouldn't forget you. Shalei eshkach es amuna b'chadr, I shouldn't forget my emuna in you. V'gam im shechati chas shalom, and if I forgot, Rabbi Shalom, ani mevakesh mi'oid, I ask from you a lot, I beg of you. Sha'ashikhati lizman kotzer ma'od, it should only be a short time that I forget. That you should help me. You should immediately awaken the emunah within you. Remind me of you. Zud suras hatfilas adam tzarech lehispal. This is the way that a Jew lives. This is the way that a Jew davens. He's saying you can't get upset or depressed. What happened to me? What happened to my emunah? You have to daven. You have to mechazik yourself. Kavir Hashem, Chazak v'yamitzibecha, and again, Kavir Hashem. Kol echad im svasoi ulishayna, each person in his own language with his own words. Pech Chavav. Haderechi. This is the derech of a mamim. And I'm going to give you an example a little bit in English in a minute. Haderechi she'odem yichlol es kol libay. V'yisapra ha'kol lefanim yisbaruch shamay. That a person should bring out his entire heart and to tell everything to Hashem, to speak to Hashem. Gamis ha'atzlochis. Not only when you have difficulties, it's very, very common that when a person has difficulties, then he turns to Hashem. But when things are going well, so then you don't tell Hashem. Just like it'll happen that you might have a friend that you talk to about tzaris, somebody that you haven't seen in a while, or some rav, or some rebbe, or some confidant of yours that you talk to because you're having something. There's something in your life that's worrying you. And then when it's good, when times are good, you don't think of that person. You don't remember that person. So the way to relate to Hashem and to strengthen our emunah is ganis atzlochus, when something goes well. To talk to Hashem about that also. Gamis akoshim, when things are difficult. Gamis anefilas, and when you have a nefila, when you've fallen. Hakol bakol mikol kol. Every single thing. Kol libo, your whole heart. B'chol levavcha. As kol liboy mamish, to talk to Hashem is baruch about everything that's in your heart. As kol sveikosav, all of your sveikas, all of your doubts. As kol miniyav, all of the obstacles in your life. Mamish, mamish, leprote, prote. Every single detail. Yisich lefanav prat prat. You talk to him about every detail. V'yibatuch b'chol libay. And you should trust with all of your heart. Shakadosh Baruch Hu mazin u'makshiv kol mila sheyotzes mipiv. That Hashem is listening and paying close attention to every word that comes out from your mouth. V'usas v'samech al kach. And that the Baruch Shalom is rejoicing that you're speaking to him this way. That the greatest nachas that Hashem has is that you can relate to him in that way and speak to him. Just as all of us know as parents, Uzeche over here to be a parent, everybody knows that when the child talks to you and tells you what's on his heart, even if it's something which is not the best thing, even if it's something which might be a problem, but the fact that your child is sharing his or her heart with you is a source of tremendous joy, that the child is opening up to you, and your child knows that he can come to you and share his problems, his worries, and his concerns with you. There's no greater joy that a parent can have, even if it's something which is a problem, but my child is talking to me. The simcha of the Yom and the Roim. I was just thinking about this a little while ago. You know, in the davening Friday night, the davening Friday night is so beautiful. It's all, it says, Kiva Hashem Lishpait Ar, it's right that Hashem is coming to judge the world. It says that the trees are clapping, the mountains are dancing. Kiva Hashem, that Hashem is coming to judge the world. So what's the big simcha? What's the big simcha that Hashem is coming to judge the world? And if you think about it, the whole simcha of Rosh Hashanah Kippur, of El Rosh Hashanah Kippur, that the whole year we're afraid of those days, and we'd like to think that we can get an extension. And it's an Ibbur year this year, it was a leap year, and it wouldn't be better if there'd be another month, and another month, right? Because Yom Kippur, it's a scary time. Rosh Hashanah Kippur, it's a scary time. But it says, Kiva yismucha shalayim v'sogel haaretz, yiram hayom ha'mla'od, ya'aloitz sadai v'chala ha'shabai. Right? Oz yiranu klatzei ha'yar, kiva ha'shem lishpat. Yismucha shalayim v'sogel haaretz. It says, everything is talking about the rivers are happy, the trees are happy, the mountains are happy. Why? Because Hashem is coming to judge the world. So I was thinking, what's so hard for them to be happy? If I was a river or a tree, I wouldn't mind either. You can't do anything wrong. You just flow and you stand there like a tree and you spread your leaves out and you're making people comfortable. What's the shlach? But how are we supposed to be happy? Kiva Hashem lishpay ta'aretz. When Hashem is coming to judge us, how are you supposed to be happy? Why should we be happy, b'chalal, about Rosh Hashanah Kippur? And yet the Svarim says the happiest time of the year is Gevaldige Simcha. What's the joy? For rivers and mountains, it's fine. But why is it happy for us? It's Mucha Shemaim v'Sogel Ha'aretz. Kiva Hashem, Kiva Lishpait. What's the Simcha? Ashrei Ha'am Yodei Yisrua Hashem Bor Panecha Yahaleichun. The Nigunim of Rosh Hashanah Kippur are the biggest Simcha of the whole year. Shani Yom Kippur. Even if you do, you go, Sham Nuba God. What are you so happy about? So, the answer is that at least there's a relationship. Even if it's something which is not so good, even if there are problems, but at least we're back together, we're talking. It's a gevaldig thing. When there's emunah, and when you feel a closeness to Hashem, there's no time of the year where you feel as close to Hashem. It's true, there's mishpat, there's judgment. But to be close to our Father is good. And that's all we want in life, is to be close. It would be nice if the closeness would be only with happiness, and only with good things. Even Tisha B'Av is called a yontif. Tisha B'Av is called a moed. Tisha B'Av is a yontif. We don't say tachna Tisha B'Av. So Rabbi Yeruchim, the famous Mashgiach from here, Rabbi Yeruchim said, what's a yontif? He says, there are yontifs of closeness to Hashem, and there are yontifs of distance from Hashem. What does that mean? It means that before Hashem's Baruch destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, so we were going around thinking that everything is fine, and that there's no problem. And the Navi kept on saying, it's going to be a problem, there's going to be problems. Nah, it's, everything's okay. And then all of a sudden, whatever the Nevi'im said came true. So even though it was horrible, but there was a feeling of closeness, because there was that reality of God in my life. Even though it was an unpleasant appearance that he made, Tisha B'Av, but it's better than nothing at all. It's better than just, where is he? Maybe he's not here at all. So there is nothing that's as meaningful to a human being as feeling closeness to God. Kiva Lishbait, he is coming, he is arriving. So even though we're nervous about that, but Lamaisa, when it comes time for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there's a gewaldige feeling of closeness to Hashem that time of the year. And there's a simcha that we have, because all we really want is to be able to feel that Amunah. And by Ne'ilah we feel it, by Kal Nidra we feel it, by Hashanah we feel it, by the Shefa we feel that very strongly. And that gives us tremendous simcha. There's nothing that's more meaningful to us in life than feeling His presence. Dirshu Hashem behimotzo kra'u behayaysay karav. Behayaysay karav, that feeling of closeness, is all that we want. So what he's saying here is that when we talk to Hashem Baruch in this way, and we share kivyachal with Him, all of these details of our lives, the good things and the not so good things, the successes and the failures, but every single prat, he says, Husas v'sameach al kach, Hashem rejoices in that. Humis'aneg al kach, Hashem delights in that, what? Sheyehudi mishtaykik lahamin by Yisbarach Shemot, that here's a Jew that wants to believe in me, that wants to talk to me, that wants to feel my closeness and my presence. Which is the tachlis of creation. The tachlis of creation is kirvas elokim li toiv, David HaMelech said, being close to God. Uvay sidbak, being attached to God. That's the tachlis of creation. Sheyehudi mischanan al kach, that the Rebbe Shlom sees that a Jew is crying out for this, for closeness, and is begging for this. Sheyehudi loy nishba berucho, that a Jew is not broken in his spirit. Umischazik, and he strengthens himself to what? To daven, to talk to me. Al af kol hakoshim hamanis van the fields, despite all of the difficulties, obstacles, and failures. Im Yehudi hoyamagish be'emes, if a Jew would feel this truthfully, how much nachas he gives Hashem with these words, by speaking to Hashem in such an intimate, personal way. It would be felt as a greater reward, even greater than Gan Eden. I want to share with you just in English, before we go on, there's this unbelievably precious little book that I found, that I think that everybody should have and live with and carry around. It's called The Gentle Weapon. How you get it, where you get it, I'll leave it up to your imagination. When a Jew wants something, they're able to get it. But what this is, I'll tell you what this is. You know, Rabbi Nachman from Breslov, Schus, again, when he came to the world, he said to teach us to daven again, along with many other things, but the main thing he said was daven. In this way, even though this is not a breast of a sefer, it's not a breast of who's writing the sefer, but Rabbi Nachman said to teach us the ancient path of speaking to Hashem in our own words. That's how Jews used to speak to Hashem before the Siddur. And to come back to that, and to strengthen that. And that all of our emunah and all of our avodah depends on that. So Rabbi Nachman taught very, very profound, deep lessons in his sefer Likutei Maharan, which is an amazing, amazing sefer. We were learning this year in shul. We learned it every Monday night. We spent 6 months learning just the first Torah, and we only touched it. Just the first Torah, which is only a page and a half. It's amazing sefer. Rabbi Nachman instructed his great disciple, Rabbi Nosson from Breslov, to change all of his Torahs and make them into tefillas. In other words, everything that I'm teaching, I want you to write a tefillah on that Torah, where Jews will be able not only to learn my teachings, but they'll be able to daven to Hashem for that inyan that we were learning. Could you imagine if all that we learned in school growing up in yeshiva, wherever you went, Beisaka, yeshiva, school, seminary, if all of that, each lesson that we learned had a tefillah connected to it, and we'd be davening all our lives for those things that we learned, it'd be a lot better. So Rabbi Nelson wrote tefillahs. We have around 400 pages of tefillahs. Long, amazing, amazing tefillahs called Likutei Tefillahs, which anybody can buy in any farm store, called Likutei Tefillahs. Some of those long ones, the first 20 or so, no, the first 50 maybe were translated to English. It would take hundreds of volumes to put into English. Over the last few years, there are some very special Jews here and in Eretz Yisrael who saw how desperately we need this. So what they've been doing is they've been taking tiny little pieces of Likutei Tefillahs, tiny little pieces, and putting them to English and to Hebrew. So this book called The Gentle Weapon is an effort to make this available to simple-minded Jews like us and to help us now davening. and I found this to be the most amazing thing. It's called the gentle weapon, because in the second Tarikut the Maran, Rabbi Nachman says that Mashiach is going to conquer the world, not with any bullets. He says not with any. He said it's not going to be with a single bullet. It's going to be with davening. Mashiach is going to come to the world. And he's going to conquer the entire world with davening. He's going to teach the world how to daven, and he's going to daven in front of the entire world, and that will bring a conquest. And with that, we're going to march into Yerushalayim with the tefillah of Mashiach Tzidkenu, who's going to teach the entire world how to daven. That's how the kibush is going to be. So that's why the book is called The Gentle Weapon, which is daven. So this section of The Gentle Weapon is called Words. And every section has a little bit of an introduction. I'll read to you the introduction, and I'll read to you two tiny little tefillahs from this section of Words. It begins with a story that I want to pray, I want to daven, to tell Hashem everything I'm going through and ask for help, a chassid explained to Rabbi Nachman. But I'm finally alone and try to daven, the words don't come. Then the Rebbe assured him, even just calling out to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, again and again is extremely beneficial. To begin, just screaming out, Ribbono Shel Olam. Once, when informed that someone was able to recite 1,000 pages of Gemara, Rabbi Nosson responded, yes, that is impressive. Yet there are those of the Rebbe's followers that can repeat the phrase Ribbono Shel Olam 1,000 times. That's more impressive. To be able to say Ribbono Shel Olam, say, what's so hard with that? So listen, I'm just going to read to you two or three. It's the book deals with all different subjects about feelings and thoughts and will and love and everything. So I'm just going to read to you, because this is what we're doing right now, about being able to open up and to share our hearts with Hashem. This one is called Openness. Dear God, it's made in such a way that even someone that never learned at all could be able to do this. Dear God, I want to open myself to you wholly, perfectly, and sincerely. I want to tell you about my doubts, my certainties, my weaknesses, my strengths, my failures, my successes. God, I want to break down every barrier that separates me from you. I want to lay out before you the parts of myself I love and the parts I despise, the parts of myself that are healthy and the parts that need healing, the parts I feel secure enough to speak of, and the insecurities I haven't the courage to share. The entire chapter is on this. God of wisdom, teach me the right words. Teach me the very words that will touch the hearts and souls of others. When a friend needs my understanding ear, teach me the words to say that will strengthen, that will encourage, that will express only my love and concern. God of wisdom, teach me to relate to others with words they need to hear, with words that will never misguide. Teach me, dear God, that often the most effective words are no words at all. Teach me how and when to communicate with that most potent gift of silence. The whole Sefer is teaching us how to learn this way of speaking to Hashem and sharing with Him all that's in our hearts, all that's on our minds. And that's exactly what he's talking about. So an ice test, let's continue. Chav Vav, ice test. Kama malis niflos yesh bitzura kazesh al tefillah al emunah. So now we're talking about davening for faith. There's a section here also on davening and faith. The one in Hebrew has even, there's much more in the Hebrew one, but there's also here on emunah, on davening for faith. So that's what we're talking about, tefillah al emunah. So he says, there are many wondrous advantages to this way of living, in this way of davening al emunah. Reishis etzem hadibur b'emunah, the very fact that you're speaking about your faith, which we rarely do. This siddur is something which over the years we've become so accustomed to, we just daven it up. And so then we try to get to English, we try to get it, then you have each word of the English is being, you know, translated, each step. We try, but the words have become so much part of the routine of being observant Jews, that it's very hard for us. And a lot of the words we have difficulty understanding exactly what they mean and what they're about. So just by beginning to speak words of emunah, moril ma'od lenefesh, this has tremendous benefit to the soul. Tremendous. U'mechazek b'ma'od es ha'emunah, and it strengthens the emunah very, very much. As we spoke about last week, he'emanti ki adaber, by speaking, one's emunah becomes very, very, very strengthened. V'diburei tefila shel emunah, lo gara m'diburei emunah stama. And words of davening for emunah and speaking about emunah are all good and all the same. When you daven to Hashem that He should help you, that you should be zaych, you daven to Him for amuna to help you with your amuna. That ignites within you a longing to have more amuna. This is a great and awesome thing. That by asking for amuna and wanting amuna, it strengthens your amuna. That's the way that it is. By asking and begging Hashem that He should fix and strengthen in your heart emuna, Hashem will certainly answer that tefillah. We learned last week that when it comes to ruchnius things, when it comes to physical things, we're not always answered the way that we ask, because Hashem knows what's best for us. We would like to have certain things, we don't know if it's good for us. When it comes to being bigger ma'aminim, when it comes to ruchnias, then it can't be that Hashem won't answer us. If we daven, Hashem will help us. If you want to be a better Jew, it can't be that God won't help you. That's what all the Sfarim say. It can't be. In ruchnias, what you daven for, it can't be. You have to be in action, you have to be stubborn and keep on asking, and it can't be that you won't be answered. So the mere fact that a person speaks to Hashem and asks for more emunah, when a person goes through a difficult time. So everybody's looking for schoolers. Everybody's looking for a schooler. You know, what can I put under my pillow? So yes, it takes them, there's some old Hoshanas, you know, from clapping Hoshana, put these under your pillow. These are all nice things. And all the schoolers get a bigger mezuzah, more mezuzahs, to put two mezuzahs on your door. You know, whatever schoolers. The ikir is emunah. And the greatest koyach to protect the person is emunah. Because the Rambam tells us, and the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and all the tzaddikim tell us, that to the degree that a person strengthens his emunah, to that degree will he be protected by the Hashgacha Pratis, to that degree will the Hashgacha Pratis become part of his life. In other words, to the degree and to the extent that you feel God's presence, to that extent He will be present. That's something that Rambam tells us b'feirush. That's something that all the Sfarim HaKadoshim tell us. More than any amulet or any mezuzah or any special, you know, new gimmick, you know, some holy water that you got from a tzaddik, whatever it might be. It's all nice stuff. But people are running for brachas. And that, even though that's good, but they forget that the ikir is emunah. The ikir is emunah. And that's why many of the stories that we have from the tzaddikim have a basic theme. And the basic theme is that somebody comes to the tzaddik and wants a bracha, and the tzaddik sends the person away, right? And everybody's saying, why'd you do that? And then the tzaddik sends the person away, and then for the first time in his life, that person turns to Hashem, and he's answered. There are 100 stories like that. You know the famous, Shlomo used to say the story, Schwarzer Wolf. You know the Schwarzer Wolf story? I mean, Schwarzer Wolf. Okay, I don't know how much of it is true. It definitely is based upon a Maaseh from Kuzin Samagid, but Shlomo, as you know, would make it a little bit more than it was originally. But the Maaseh was that there was a certain Lamed Vav Tzaddik that the Kuzin Samagid sent this Jew to have, because they couldn't have children. And he went to this Lamed Vav Tzaddik, and this Lamed Vav Tzaddik basically cursed him and yelled at him. It was horrible. It was the most disgusting things that this guy said to him, and the Kuzma Maggid said that if you don't get a bracha, then you know, then it's not going to work. You got to get a bracha from this guy. So the end of the Maaseh was that this person who was called Schwarzer Wolf sent him away and cursed him and everything, and the Yid was Sebrachim, and the Yid had no choice, and he said, you know what? I don't need any bracha from any Lamed Vav Tzaddik. Why can't I just ask you Hashem for a bracha? And after that, he went back to Schwarzer Wolf. And when he walked in, now Schwarzer Wolf smiled at him, and everything was beautiful, and everything was nice, and the house was beautiful, and the children were beautiful, and everything was good. And the Schwarzer Wolf told him that you should know that was the ikka. The ikka was that you're a tzaddik, and that you have to know that you're a tzaddik. You have to know that every Jew has a koyach of tefillah and a koyach of emunah. And the reason that the Kuzin Samagid sent you to me was that I should break you and teach you this. You don't need me, and you'll have a child bez Hashem, and you have a kachav. And that was the end of the mice. And Kalabach said that there are still people in the world that are called Schwarzer Wolf. I never met anybody in Bnei Brak, he said Schwarzer Wolf. I mean, Shlomo said that, maybe, I don't know. But that's the story of Schwarzer Wolf. There are hundreds of stories like that. with the tzaddik, there was a maisa with the Rebbe Lalev's daughter came and came to Kotzke. Kotzke mamash screamed at her and yelled at her. She also wanted to have a baby. Kotzke, the Kotzke, it says in the sefer, yelled at her, "You worthless bag of bones! How dare you bother me with your narishkeit?" And you know, she, the problem is she came together with her mother, so the girl ran out crying, and she was married for a few years. They didn't have a kid. She ran out crying. The Rebbetzin, the Lalev Rebbetzin, said, "My husband's a bigger tzaddik than you." I said to the Kotzke, who was a fiery angel, but you know, you don't mess with some of these kids. And she said, "How dare you? I never heard my husband's a Rebbe. He never said a bad word to a Jew. How do you talk like that?" And the Kotzke was looking at the Gemara, didn't even look up. So she's screaming and yelling at the Rebbe, at the Kotzke, and finally the Kotzke says, "I tell your daughter to come back." So she goes out and the daughter comes in. She's afraid. The mother has to drag her back in. But I'm going to get a second bracha from the Kotzke. She comes into the Kotzke, and the Kotzke smiles and says, "Mr. Shem, you're going to have a baby a year from now. Gesund and nachis." So she just says, "Amen," and she runs out. The Rebbetzin says, "How do you work over here in Kotzke? Like, how do things go in Kotzke like this? You know?" So the Kotzke says, "Rebbetzin, listen to me. When you and your daughter walked into my room, I looked up from my Gemara and I saw such gaiva. Rabbi David Lalev's daughter, Rabbi David Lalev's Rebbetzin. I looked at your daughter for a second and I'm telling you, Rebbetzin, there wasn't an inch for any bracha to come into her life. There wasn't an opening. She's so filled with herself that God could have nothing to do with her. So you'll forgive me, but I figured if the Rebbe from Kotzke yells at her for a little bit, it'll save you 20 years of kretzing and davening and going to tzaddikim." So I broke it down, and when she was outside, she said to Hashem, "I don't need any Kotzke Rebbe. Hashem, if you want me to have a baby, you can give me a baby." And that was the bracha. That's all. But Hashem's bracha should listen to her tefillah. "You don't need me. You needed me to break down the ego. I'm sorry." But that's the yesod of emunah, is that that a Jew has such a merdek koyach with his tefillahs, with his diburim, and it's more stronger than anything else in the world. So it says this. He says, "V'vada gashbroch yishmas to v'sof kol sof yamam gadol ma'ayt." And this itself, speaking these words, when a person feels worried, when a person feels afraid, when a person is nervous or concerned, when a person has something on his or her heart, this is the way of a Jew to daven. Noisaf al kach ois yud. In addition to this, yesh kan nekuda neflah. There's an amazing thing. Another thing. The tzura kazeis shel tefillah. When a Jew davens this way, ha'adam mekasher is kol yoyim lekadosh baruch b'chol davar. Then a person's day becomes, every part of the day becomes connected to God. Not just when you daven shachris. Every part of the day becomes filled with Hashem. When a guy is sitting in yeshiva and he's learning something he doesn't understand, or if a woman's, if you're learning something and you're trying to understand it and you don't understand it, you try to understand, you ask Hashem for help. We never thought of doing that in yeshiva. You went to ask somebody else for help. And it strengthens your emunah. You believe that really the Rebbeinu Shlom alone can help you understand, can open up your mind to understand this. And after you understand that learning, then you believe that Hashem is the one that gave you this chust to understand. The kakolz ma limudo, and that's how a Jew learns from a kushal Rebbeinu Shlom, and this attaches you to Hashem's baruch. And throughout the entire day, in everything that you're doing, a person thinks that only Hashem can help me to do this, even in the simplest things in the world. That's why it says in the pasuk, "Al zaisis pala kol chosid la'is mitzay." Says in pasuk, "Al zaisis pala kol chosid la'is mitzay," that every righteous person should daven for this. And the Gemara goes through different things. What does it mean, la'is mitzay? So one says zuisha means to get married. You have to daven to Hashem, you want to get married. And it goes through different things. It says beis akisa, even how things go in the bathroom. La'is mitzay means that how it goes in the bathroom, you also get daven. that it should go well. A person who got to it could become very sick if it doesn't go well. And a person with Lais Mitzvah means for everything. Lais Mitzvah. That a person lives with Hashem. Every minute of the day he lives with Hashem. That he should be Matzlich with this, that it should go well. And therefore he turns immediately to Hashem in Tefillah. We can't even, I mean, just to imagine how this could affect a person's entire life. First of all, you remain a humble person. The humility that it brings into your life is immeasurable. The humility. Because what happens to us is that we're always running away with ourselves. This way of living, you never run away with yourself, because you're constantly with Hashem. So you're always humbled by that thought, and you're always asking Him for help. And as a result of that, you don't lose sight of who you are and who He is. I'll call prat to prat, every single detail. L'ayrach kol hayom, throughout the day. Mamish hu mishtadel, shekol prat to prat. A person tries that in every single detail of the day, in every single detail of his life, yikadim loy emuna, that it should be preceded, it should come with emuna, it should come into that day together with emuna. The kevin sheyesh emuna, hu miyad mispal. Kevin sheyesh emuna, miyad mispal, and that helps you to daven. Throughout the entire day, mamish. He's attached to Hashem. A person who lives this way, can be zerk at the very, very high madregas. One of the tzaddikim said a difference between a chassid and a misnagid. Nowadays it's hard to say. It's a chassid and a misnagid, and whatever it is now, it's just a big mush. But in the old days, one of the big tzaddikim said, what's the difference between a chassid and a misnagid? I think it was the Baal Tanya, but I'm not sure. He said, it's like this, is that it's a whole story, but the tamsis of Dava was that the chassid, no, he begins like this, the misnagid, somebody told him that he should go to, there's a certain rebbe that could help him in this town. And his wife said, you gotta go. He didn't want to go, but his wife said, you have to go. So he went the whole way. He's angry, he's annoyed, he's upset. It rains, it's this, it's that. It costs money, he's schlepping, the whole way he's annoyed. Finally, what happens, he gets to the Rebbe's court, and before he can go into the tzaddik, he sees that there's a yid, a chassid, standing outside the shul. And this chassid is standing outside the shul with a container of oil, of grease, greasing the tires of the wheels of the wagon. And he's greasing the wheels of the wagon. He says, Zisatat in Himmel, sweet Father in Heaven, help me that my horse should feel good today. And he should be able to go smooth today. He should ride and run. So the Misnagid, the Rebbe says, the Misnagid sees this, and he says, for this I slept 3 weeks. My wife sent me in the filth and the mud, and I spent 100 rubles to come to see some idiot standing over here talking to his horse. He doesn't even go into the Rebbe, right? And he turns back. And that's the end of the Misnagid story. He says, the chassid the whole way. He says, it's singing and dancing. I'm going to the Rebbe. I'm going to the Rebbe. Gewalt, I'm going to the Rebbe. And then when he finally gets to the Rebbe, so he sees one of the chassidim standing outside, and he's speaking words of Amun Rebbe Shalom, help me that my horse should be healthy and well. And he says, Gewalt, you see what it means to be a chassid. You see when you're close to a tzaddik, how every single thing you daven for it, every single thing you live with the Baruch Shalom. And he goes into the Rebbe and he gets brachas and hashpoyis tovis and panos and good things. That was what once was. But the idea of living constantly with Hashem is brach, like Kedushas Levi said, when there was a yid that went outside with his talis and tefillin and was greasing the wagon. So a couple of the chassidim say, ah, it's disgusting, this guy goes out with his talis and tefillin and he's going to grease a wagon. So the Ditchev said, Rebbeinu Shalom, look what a Jew is. Even when he's greasing his wagon, he can't take off his talis and tefillin. He's so attached to you, he wants to be with his talis and tefillin. It's a way of looking, it's a hergish of closeness to Hashem that the Berditcheva had, that he saw every Jew like himself. He couldn't see a Jew detached from God. The way that he felt about Hashem constantly with him, so that's how he looked. I remember many, many years ago, when we first married, we were in a bungalow colony on another side of the mountains, we were there. And the first Sunday we were there, I was so touched because we were davening Sunday morning and I saw a guy walk out with his talus over his head out into the fields. And I thought, wow, that's beautiful, like he's going to commune with a god. And then I saw him, it was funny, I saw him bend down and he was touching the grass. And they came at the shul and he said, fellas, it's going to be a rough infield this morning for the softball game. Out loud in the middle of Ashram. It's going to be a rough infield. You know, it was just slippery for the softball game. And that's sort of like, you know, that I had this whole thought of his Beididus and Rabbi Nachman, and I was going to go out afterwards also and try to do that. And Hashem Yisbarach has to help us that we should live with him every single second of the day. And I'm sure that the Baditcha would have said the same thing. Look at him, he's going out into the fields and he can't be detached from Hashem. Unfortunately, we've become already, I think, you know, since that day I've become cynical, you know. I wasn't until then, maybe I was, but after that I became cynical. And, but to live in such a way, and he says, Yehudim Tavinu, let's just learn Yud Aleph, it takes a second. Yehudim, he says, Yidin, understand Tavinu. Yidin, he says, understand this. Shemeduba Khan, that what I'm talking to you about, what we're learning here today, Shemeduba Khan, the Nishmas Chayim Shal Yehudi. I'm not talking to you about some extra din, or some halacha, or some nice thought, or some philosophy of being a Jew, or some new hashkafic concept. I'm not talking to you about that. He says, what we're talking about today is Nishmas Chayim Shal Yehudi, is the living soul of being a Jew. This is what it means to be a Yid. This is how Azadis and Bobbies were. This is how they lived. This is the Nishmas Chayim of a Jew. That's why in their tefillahs they were crying so much. With their tzenerenes they were crying. On their Tisha B'Avs they were crying about a Churban because they felt that the Churban takes us far away from him. We want to be close to him. This is how they lived. This is how they spoke. All of our grandparents lived this way. And we know so much more than they knew, and we don't feel any of this. Because their moon is so far from us. He says, this is the Nishmas Chaim of a Jew. It's not extra. There's not a course. I'm sure that there's going to be, 10 years from now, some professor writing his thesis on the Sefer Shni Tolas, on the subject of closeness to God. I had a fellow that called me up this year. He's a frum guy, a very fine guy. And he left me a message on my machine that he wants to know if it would be possible to come speak to me. He's writing his PhD dissertation on the subject of the Rebbe from Piazetzna. Now, the Rebbe from Piazetzna is the Eish Kodesh, where our shul is named after, so he figures, wrongfully, that I must be some sort of an expert on the Piazetzna. We heard Shiurim from me sometime, I don't know, tapes. So he wanted to know, could he discuss, he's writing his dissertation, he wants to discuss with me the Piazetzna. And I called him back, and I said, listen, I remember I said, like, right before I'm about to give it to somebody, I always say, you know, I love you, but, so I said, listen, I love you, but I want to tell you something. I have no cheshek anymore for this type of stuff. He said, if you want to talk to me about the Piazetzna, you want to learn chassidus, you want to come to learn, that's one thing. But I don't want to be interviewed for your dissertation on the subject of the Rebbe from Piazetzna that you're writing to publish. I'm not interested in that. I don't want. And he's a good guy, and he understood where I was coming from, and he said, he understood. But it's talking about God or talking to God. Is talking about the Rebbe from Piazetzna or living with the Rebbe from Piazetzna? It's hashkafic, halachic lectures, or it's living as a Yid. And this is what he's saying, he says, Yehudim, Yidin, Tavinu Shemaduba Kabbadish Meshaim Shli Yehudim, I'm talking about the living soul of a Jew. I'm not talking about some subject to discuss, or some nice vart. You can be sure that if there'd be some younger light sitting across this machitz, they'd be making a lot of fun of what we're doing tonight. Guaranteed. Many not. Some yes. What is this? Is this Nishmas Chaim of being a Jew? This is the Nishmas Chaim. That's why there's such a Yetzahara not to think about this. There's such a Yetzahara not to be this way. And you can make doctoral dissertations on the subject of talking to God, but never saying a word to him. V'loy v'dov shuli, he said, shuli means, I'm not talking about a zaitik azach, a side thing, some tangential matter. Shuli means b'shulai, means on the side. Kol Yehudi sheyizke lahavin, he said, d'varim haitiv, any Jew that understands what I'm talking about, v'linay kach, and tries to live this way, hu zach ala ilam umlayo, you will be zaychet to live this world to its fullest. This life, your life, and the whole world will be yours. Not only this life, but beyond this life. Chaval, chaval. It's so chaval. It's such a pity and a shame to lose out on nitzchias, on eternity. We have such a clear and established path that Hashem taught us through the tzaddikim of how to have this unbelievable nitzchias and to make all of life filled with such oinig and such pleasure. Hashem Yazar Shakol Knesset Yisrael Yiskul is there. Hashem should help that all Jews should be zeichet to this. Kedai Lach Zevelikos Edvar Malolu. It's kedai to review what we're just doing now. Lefachos Asaras Pa'amim. Tens of times, at least. Veluch Yaskach, and to start to live this way. Veloli Yisiyayish Klal. And no matter how many times it's hard for you and you fail, not to give up. Zenoira Neiroz. It's absolutely awesome. Masha'ev Shalahasik B'tzura Kazayis. What one can achieve living this way. And we're going to continue to talk about how we could apply this, and then moving from Emuna, we're going to talk about Tefillah and about other things, all with this Mahalach, Mitzvah Shem. Shkayach.